chapter 17, verse 24 through 28. And I'm ministering a message to you this morning called, You've Been Anointed to Be You. You have been anointed to be you. Now, God cannot anoint you to be anybody else. And when you are looking at someone else and you're wishing you were them, or you wishing that you could be like them and you're envious of them, you're going to fail in life, because God can't give you the anointing to be like anybody else, but He can anoint you so well to be you. He can anoint you to be you, and He has. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. I don't care if you're saved or you're unsaved. God has given you everything that you have. I said, I don't care if you're saved or unsaved. God has given you everything that you have. And when you look at your life and you tell God, Lord, but I don't have this, and God, I don't have that, God will give you everything that you need. He'll give you everything that you need. My question to you today is, can you tell God, God, you have everything that I am. God, you have the right to come in and tell me what to do with every single part of my life. God, everything that I have, Lord, it's yours. I was having a discussion with Coco this weekend. Coco is my 10-year-old son. How many of you have more than one kid? Okay, your baby's probably spoiled rotten. Both of mine are, actually, but... We had 2 5-year-old grandbabies over our house this weekend. I can't say I'd recommend that every weekend. Exhausting is putting it very nicely. And Coco is one of the biggest, hardest people. He's got a big heart. He'd give you the shirt off his back, but he is not letting you play with any of his toys. Not one. And that annoys me, because I'm like, I am tripping over your toys. I am stepping on your toys. I am hurting my toes with your toys. You have so many toys, and you're being stingy. And at one point, I told him this weekend, I said, you are being very stingy, and I'm very ashamed of the way that you're acting towards the grandbabies. And it doesn't make mommy very proud, because I gave you everything that you have. And you mean to tell me that you can't even do what I'm asking you to do, which is let them play with it. And see, we do God that same way. God gives us everything that we have. And sometimes when God comes along and He says, hey, I want you to do this, or I want you to do that, I'm going to give you this talent and I want you to use it for me. See, a lot of times we want to play God like we're playing our relatives, and we want to act like, well, God, I know you gave this to me, but I don't want to give it back to you. Let me tell you something. Whatever God gave you, He gave it to you. He can also take it from you if He wants to. I felt like taking every toy that kid owned this weekend. But God gives you everything that you have. And in the middle of those discussions where we're telling God what we don't have, we need to stop and we need to begin to thank Him for what we can visibly see that we do have. God, I thank you that you've given me a warm home. It may not be the home that you want, but are you sheltered? God, I thank you for whatever. Are you thankful? And do you recognize that what you have, He gave you? And do you recognize the fact that you need to offer it back to Him in whatever ways that He tells you to? You're anointed to be you. God gave you certain gifts and He gave you certain talents. He created you, and He knew exactly in what era to put you in. And to read on, it says here, verse 26, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. Here's the part that really pertains to you. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. See, God knew, all you people that love air conditioning and are wimps, he knew to not put you back in the golden days where they were doing the wagons and wheeling with the horses. See, he knew not to do that to you. Have you ever thanked him for that? I have. I'm like, my God, I am so high maintenance. Lord, thank you, God, for not doing that to me, because I'd have made whoever I married at that point in them days, I'd have made them miserable, because I'd have been griping the entire time. But it says that he determined the steps for them and the exact places where they should live. What kind of a God do we serve? An exact God. An exact God. If you will let God, and the key word is let, if you will let him, he will give you a beautiful life. Because he will anoint you, he will equip you, he will ordain you, and he will establish you in everything that you do. He will take your hands and he will make them to be whatever you touch prospers. You are anointed to be you. You are anointed to be who he's made you to be. If he can get you happy to be that person, you're on your way. You know how many Christians feel bad about themselves? Oh, I don't feel like I measure up. Oh, back 10 years ago, I did this, this, and this. Yeah, God knows exactly what you did. He knows the moment you did it. And he loves you just as much as he ever has. That hasn't changed, and it's not going to. And he has anointed you. You're an anointed person. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, here's a verse that I quote almost every single service. For in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. As some of your poets have said, we are his offspring. I've lived long enough to know that if I'm going to do something, I want God to be in it. Because I've done things with the Lord, and I've done things without the Lord, and the things I did without him failed miserably. But the things that he told me to do and I obeyed him, they were exact. I mean, you could not have gotten something more exact and more blessed. When you're making moves, make them in him. What does that mean? Make the moves he tells you to make. In him we live. See, when you're living, you need to think about what kind of a life that you want to have. If you're single in here, you want to think about, if you ever want to get married, you want to think about what kind of a spouse do you want. And if you're praying for one, don't just say, God, give me a husband, or God, give me a wife. You need to be specific, because if there's things about something you don't like, then you need to pray, Lord, don't give me one that won't work. Or, God, don't give me a high-maintenance woman. I don't like them. The more specific of prayers we can pray, the better. And the problem is Christians are making decisions that they have not even thought out or even said out loud. We're just handling life situations by the seat of our pants, and we're making life-altering decisions off of very temporary feelings most of the time. But the Word says, in him we live. In him we live. In him we move. And in him we're going to have our being. So, Pastor Kelly, what does that mean? Well, You know what? For me, it means, you know what? My whole being, everything that I am, Cece, I'm going to be that in him and for him. Everything. Do I always get that right on the nose? No. I don't. But I get up every morning, and that's my intention, and it's my goal, and I try to hit that every day. And on the days I don't, I sit there in my bed, and I say, God, I'm sorry. I got a little moody. I got a little edgy. Forgive me. Help me wake up. Be different the next day. But you've been anointed to be you. Go with me now to Esther chapter 4. That's towards the beginning of your Bible. Esther chapter 4. I'm going to take you to one key verse, verse 14. I will set the scene for this. Esther was a queen. She wasn't born into royalty, but God chose her, and he anointed her. I don't care what your last name is up in here, and neither does God. Because if he's going to make you royalty, he's not going to look at your natural bloodline. He's going to look at his bloodline, and he's going to see that you're a child of God, and there's things that God wants to do for people, and we're sitting here going, well, but. You keep all your buts and just let God do what he wants to do with you. And here's Esther. They had a beauty contest, a very extensive one that lasted for months, and she won it. And they made her queen. And then there was a man named Haman, and he began to plot how to get rid of and annihilate the Jews. And there was a man named Mordecai. And Mordecai was a relative of Esther's. And Mordecai sent word to Esther, you're going to have to help your people. And the problem for Esther was that you couldn't just go, even though she was married to the king, she couldn't just go and talk to her husband. He had to summon her. And if you went and talked to him, and you wasn't summoned, he might kill you. Imagine being married to somebody like that. That might make us women behave a little bit better. For some of us, I doubt it. But you think about that. Can I speak to you? I don't want you to kill me, but will you please summon me? I have a few things to say to you. And Mordecai says these famous words to her, and they're found in verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews, it will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. God will put you in the time that you're supposed to live in, and he wants you to live and move and have your being in him. Why? Because he's anointed you for that. He's anointed you for that. We're all the time looking at other people. Well, God, what about this one? They seem like they've got a great life, and here I'm over here, and I've done everything, God, that you've ever asked me to do, and I don't feel like my life is as good as theirs. See, that's the problem with us, is we're constantly looking at what we think is going on with other people's lives, and it's not. We can't look at other people and think we know what's going on with them, because here's the thing. Jeff, I can look at myself in the mirror every day. And if I'm not real in tune with God, there's days where I could look in the mirror and not have a clue what's going on with myself, and I'm looking at me and I am me. And then we want to be so ignorant as to look at other people and be like, oh, I can't stand Sally Sue. I just don't like her. Somebody says, well, why don't you like her? Well, I don't. You know what? She just the way that she walks. I mean, ugh. And the way that she does her hair, it's just ungodly. Just an abomination. Do you ever realize how self-righteous we Christians can be? No wonder we're criticized. I constantly thank you, God, all of my thoughts aren't on display on a screen. Now, how many of you can jump on that boat and say, praise God for that? Here's what I've started doing with those little thoughts, besides taking them captive. I've said, uh-oh, God, that was a bad thought. I'm not going to say those thoughts out loud, but Lord, can you get it to where I don't even think them? Little thought, that wasn't good and it wasn't nice. Now, you're not coming back today. We just put it right back on the shelf. But God has anointed you. In 2019, July the 28th, I stepped into the pastorship role. And I thought, this is going to be a piece of cake. I've watched my dad do this my whole life. This is going to be easy. I've got like 33 years of experience just watching him do it. I got it. Not a problem. By about 2 weeks, I had eaten lots of cake and realized it was not a piece of cake. And I kept asking God, are you sure that you got the right person for this? Because God, some days I don't even like people. He says, well, Kelly, you're just the person. And in a time where church attendance was declining nationally, the church attendance in Paris Christian Center grew. And in the middle of a pandemic, God birthed a beautiful, beautiful ministry that is now 6.5 years later, our food ministry that feeds hundreds every single week, that takes 228 meals and thought of the elderly and delivered it right to their door. See, here's what I know. That did not happen by accident. That was a God-ordained, God-anointed thing. Will you just walk around and act like you're anointed already? I'm going to say that again. Will you just be who you are supposed to be and walk around with knowing that you're just as anointed as the next person that you think, maybe even more? Boy, the other day, I just had myself all up in a tiz. I get there a lot. Why? Because I'm Italian and I've got a hot-headed self. I don't know. I'm high strung, Sandy. And God finally said, Kelly, I've put a lot of anointing on your life. You're lowering yourself just to get to this petty self. Stop. Stop that. God has anointed you to be you. And he has qualified you and equipped you and given you everything that you need to be you. He will not anoint you to be anybody else. But when it concerns you, you have every ounce of the anointing that you need. He's given it to you. Dwell in it. Live in it. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. For the person that will parallel and line themselves up with those three, that three, in Him we live and in Him we move and in Him we have our being. If you will make your life get parallel to those, you're unstoppable. Because you've put yourself in the Word, and the Word is in you, and you're living out what God has for your life. You are anointed to be you. So Mordecai tells her, "And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this." Stop hating where your life is right now. Stop hating what you're in the middle of right now. I tell people all the time, one of the biggest things that you're going to ever have to grieve over is the idea of what you thought your life would be. How many of you know that there were things that has happened in your life and you didn't plan them, and they were traumatic, and they were just, they got you and they got a hold of you and they were devastating for you? How many of you have been there in your life? Absolutely. I believe if we're all voting that we've all been there. And sometimes we're so mad at the situation. Sometimes we are so mad at God because, well, God, I didn't plan that. I didn't, you know what, grieve over what you thought your life was going to be, and know this, that God can make it better than what you ever thought. He will make it better than what you ever thought. There's things that God wants to make up to you, to restore to you, to reconcile to you. You're anointed to be you. Go with me to Romans chapter 11. We're going to look first at the King James Version, Romans 11, verse 29. And it says this, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now let's put that in the CEV version. God doesn't take back the gifts He has given or disown the people He has chosen. Going to read that one more time, because see, this needs to get up inside of somebody that's been feeling very bad about themselves and thinking that God can't use you or God don't love you or whatever because of something you did, because that's the devil telling you that. And that's not God, because God says in His Word, God doesn't take back the gifts He has given or disown the people that He has chosen. I don't care what you've done. God is not disowning you, and He is not turning His back on you. I'm going to say that again. God is not disowning you, and He is not turning His back on you. He loves you, and not only does He love you, He gave His Son for you. Not only did He give His Son for you, but He would give up anything for you. But you know what? It's specifically your life for His sons. There was a sacrifice that had to be made, and there was no other way. He does not regret you. In a world where we feel like washed up and undone and unuseful and unworthy and all that stuff, see, that's all a lie that the devil tells you. That's what social media will tell you. You'll look at something on Facebook. Oh, this happens to me all the time, Alyssa. I'm like, oh my gosh. How do these women? I just don't get it. And then I want to really have a pity party. Because, Moni, they put a picture on Facebook and everything looks spick and span. And their kids are all clean. They look great. Everybody's got all on the name brand clothes. And I'm sitting here feeling bad about myself because I'm thinking, man, I'm a mess. The house is a mess. The car is a mess. Everything's a mess. It's going to stay a mess. Let me explain this to you. In a very nice way. All the folks you're watching and you're comparing yourself to and you're getting bent out of shape because you don't feel as good, or maybe it's on the news, or I don't know what you're watching. Or you see the Hardee's commercial, and there's that half-naked woman, and you think, well, great, now I can't eat any more hamburgers, because if I do, I for sure won't look like that, and I can't look like that anyways. Well, nobody looks like that. She don't even. Okay? Right, Moni? Girls eat the hamburgers, okay? Just have that thing. Sometimes all you really need is a good cry, a talk with Jesus, and a cheeseburger. Okay? And you're going to feel better about some things in your life when you get those. The other day I was so hungry and I was moody. Oh, I get really moody when I'm hungry. I mean, I'm sometimes moody anyways, but I get real moody when I'm hungry. I was sitting there. And Frank says, we'll split the fish dinner. Oh, no, buddy. No. We are not splitting anything because I'm eating all that fish. I ain't giving you none of it. You get your own meal. Unless I ate 3 pieces. There was like 4 left. But in that moment, a different part of me was talking. And we're looking at things and we're looking at people and we're looking at all their silly posts and we're thinking all these things and we're feeling bad about ourselves. We're looking at... Quit looking. Okay? Are you just wanting to feel inadequate about yourself? Quit looking at it. Who cares how clean their house is? Because I'm going to give you a little insight. Every influencer that I know, every one of them, their entire house is torn up except for that one room that they're filming with. Okay? And that is life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God has anointed you to be you. What does he need from you? He needs you to stop looking at other people, stop looking at what they have, stop looking at what they are, stop looking at their success. If you're going to have to compete with somebody, let it be yourself. Your past self, man, in 5 years from now, you need to be better than you are today. But God has anointed you to be you. And here's the most beautiful thing about God. God doesn't take back the gifts that he's given, and he doesn't disown the people that he's chosen. He is not regretting what he gave you as far as your gifts and your talents and your anointing. He doesn't regret that. But I tell you what would be regrettable is if you sat there and you felt sorry for yourself and you never used them. Amen. One of my favorite people on the planet is my sister Casey. She's 5 years older than me. I've been protecting Casey her entire life. On the school bus, through life, all of it. And I like Casey to sing. And no, just because we're in the same family doesn't mean I can sing like her, because I can't. Not even like a smidge. I wish I could. I told God, when I get to heaven, I want teeth like that guy on Mercy Me. I want him to literally glow. I want everybody to see them teeth just glowing. I want to have a beautiful voice, and I want to smile and sing. Up there. But I'll tell Casey, sometimes on Sunday night she'll think that she's not going to sing a special. And I'll say, no, you're going to get back on the stage. It's the only person I can do this with that won't get offended and leave. No, sister. Get back on the stage because, see, you're going to bless people. Your life has gotten hard. Things aren't what you thought they'd be. Let's give that to God right now. God has anointed you to be you. And He loves you so much. And whatever in your life has made you feel like He doesn't, hand that right over to God, because He does. He loves you and He calls you His own. If you weren't valuable, you wouldn't be here. Before you were ever even knit in your mother's womb, He knew you. He made sure you were put in the right time frame, in the right generation. And He did that so you could change the world and the people around you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. And here's Paul. He's speaking to the Corinthians. There was a little bit of a misunderstanding between them. And in verse 21, he says, "Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ." God has anointed you to stand through the things that you've been through. When other people would have fell down and quit and all of the things, God anointed you to be able to stand. Why do you think I say, stand to your feet? Because sometimes we stop realizing that God at least gave us the ability to stand. And that should be symbolic to you, because you've actually stood through some things that a lot of people wouldn't be able to. I said you've stood through things that a lot of people would not be able to stand through and go through. How were you able to do that? Because He anointed you. And if you're in the middle of a battle right now, God has anointed you and He has paved the way for you to go through that battle and to come out better than you were before. And we're all thinking, well, God, what am I going to lose going through this? Look here, baby, you ain't losing nothing but everything that you needed to lose. Some of the losing, Alyssa, I've learned is a blessing. Praise God for some of the things that I've lost. And a lot of them were the things and the people that I took up along the way that I never should have. But God's anointed you. Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. See, you're not going to just stand, but you're going to stand firm. He anointed us. And He set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Did you understand that, man, when you have Christ in your life and when you welcome Him into your life, when you have Him in your life, He has put His Spirit up inside of you, and that's a deposit that He made in your life. My dad always told me, Kelly, Dad gives some of the best daddy-daughter advice, and this is what he's always told me. One of the best investments that you'll ever make is an invest in yourself. Better yourself. I'm going to read that verse to us one more time. He set His seal of ownership on us, and He put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. God made an investment into you, and not only did He do that, and not only did He sacrifice His Son, but He put His actual Spirit inside of you as a deposit. Amen. And somehow, because we're very fickle creations, we want to sit there and think, God, I can't do this one more day. No, let me tell you something. He has anointed you, and if you got to do it for 37 more days, guess what? He's going to anoint you to do that for 37 more days. But the day that it's supposed to be over, Jeff, guess what? It's over. And somehow, when it's over, We are better than when we started. And nobody can do math like that but God. Next place this morning. Isaiah chapter 61. Hallelujah. We're going to look at verse 1 through 3. I know what some of you are thinking. Because I'd be sitting here thinking it if I was listening to me. Well, I don't feel anointed. Let me tell you, we don't feel a lot of things. How many of you, every day that you wake up and you feel saved? See, I don't always feel it. I know what days not to wear that shirt that says pastor. I also know what days to not be in Paris. Because I can at least smell. And when I smell that kind of air and I know I don't need to be in public that day, guess what? God's given me wisdom to not be. Your feelings aren't what? You're going to feel a lot of things. And you're going to feel a lot of things about yourself, and they're not accurate. You may feel like a loser. That doesn't make you a loser. Sometimes stuff not working out the way we thought just makes us feel defeated. Look here, if it didn't work out, it wasn't supposed to. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. You ever think about just how sovereign that God really is? He's sovereign. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. So we've read that He put His Spirit in our heart, and now we're reading that His Spirit is on us as well. It's in us, and it's on us. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn. Verse 3, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. A display of His splendor. You are a walking, talking, anointed child of God, but you're also a display of what He has done inside of your life.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
A display.
Hallelujah.
If you've ever worked with me on a Monday night, you've heard me say this. The most important thing, as far as the food is concerned, is that when that elderly person opens that tray, that food looks pretty. Because guess what? Pastor K isn't going to serve the elderly something that looks ugly. Now, that may sound very conceited, but Alyssa, God's given us the anointing to serve a beautiful meal. Why would we want to serve anything other than that? If I wouldn't eat it, guess what? I'm not going to give it to them. There has been one meal in the 6.5 years that we've done this. One, okay, out of hundreds. And there was no redeeming it. And I didn't have enough money to get all 220-something of them something else. Some of them liked it and some of it didn't. But I've only ever been embarrassed of one meal that went out of here, and it was when we tried to do Chinese. And I say that out loud, and I'm like, why did I even go there? God has not anointed me to cook Chinese food. But he has anointed me to do some other good meals. And guess what? If any of you know your meats, you know that beef tenderloin is a very expensive meat. That's what they're eating tomorrow. God has given you an anointing to be you. He wants you to get excited about who you are. This isn't just your pastor blowing smoke up your rear end, okay? I'm going to keep it real. Because you all just understood that statement, didn't you? That's why it's important to preach where people can understand. I've been in messages where I was like, I don't know what they just said, but somehow I feel worse about myself. God's anointed you to be you. Last place for me this morning, Psalms chapter 23. I believe that this was Papa McElhaney's favorite passage. And I miss him dearly. And those of you that don't know him, that was way back in the day. It's Sam's dad, and that should tell you he was a saint. Oh, no. Hey, if you can't laugh in church, you're going to have a real hard time in life, okay? You got to laugh up in here. Psalms chapter 23. If you could literally eat this word and get it inside of you, man, it would change your life. Just this one chapter. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? The Lord's the one leading you. Will you let him lead you? Will you let him lead you? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He could have you lying down in an old dead one, but he didn't. He has you lying down in a green pasture. What does that mean? It's living and it has all that you need there. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads you beside quiet waters. What is the quiet waters? Well, it's the ones where there's not a lot of drama and you're not always feeling hurt and you're not always the anxious one and you're not... See, God wants to lead you beside the quiet waters. The ones where you're not torn up on the inside all the time. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? God wants to guide you in what is right. God will never guide you into a wrong thing, but you will. That's why it's important to let him do the leading, because he will always lead you to the next right thing. Even though I walk through, the key word here is through. Because you're not staying there. If you're a child of God, you're not staying there. Even though, despite, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then it says, why? For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, there's tears that you can only cry to God. Because He's the only one that can do anything about them. There's things that's happened in your life, and they're treacherous, and they've hurt you, and they've messed you up really bad. Those tears are reserved for the Lord. Cry those in His presence. Why? Because He collects every tear right in the palm of His hand. He counts them, and He knows. He knows the exact amount of grief that you've cried over that. And what did He do in return? He gave you an anointing to be you, and He gave you an anointing to be the very best version of you. The devil wants to get you distracted and get you to trying to be like somebody else, and you're going to always feel defeated because you can't be anybody else, but you can be an awesome you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I can't help but smile about that. Lord, set that table, because when I get to my table and my enemies are there, I'm going to behave. See, some of us, we're all thinking about, what are we going to do when I see my enemy, and what am I going to say? And then we start rehearsing these little arguments inside of our little pea brains. Look here, stop that. Get yourself up to that table that God set for you. And if your enemy just so happens to be sitting there, love on them. Love on them. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. What does that mean for you? God has anointed you. Your head is dripping from the oil that He's anointed you with. The biggest distraction is comparison. The biggest distraction is comparison. Stop doing that to yourself. Surely goodness and love will follow me. Goodness and love, they're following you. They're right behind you. All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Y'all stand to your feet this morning. What do you do with a message like this? Well, you're going to go get some of the best pork chops I've ever eaten. They're one for household. And you walk out those two doors, and you either live it out or you don't, and that decision is yours. You either say, you know what, I'm going to learn how to be comfortable with being myself and to being the very best version of the person God wants me to be. And you get excited about that person. And if you feel the need to compete with somebody, you compete with your former self. Be better than what you were. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You for every single thing that has come out today. God, I ask that it would be planted in the folks that's heard it today. Lord, I ask that as they walk out and leave this place, God, that they've walked out of here with a deposit from You. And Lord, I ask that You'd help them to live out the sermon. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got church tonight at 5.